Welcome. So happy it's Thursday. ESPN 1700 AM is the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. Got a full house today.
Man, we have got a big show for you today as well.
In here, turn the AC down. It's going to get hot.
Joking about that.
Today with us, Alex Bellini, the executive director, as well as Andrew Marin, the financial director of Aurora Capital Alliance, the website auroracapitalalliance.com. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Sounds like we got all the executives of the company here. Who's left behind to actually do any business?
That's a good question. That is a today we are taking the day.
Taking the day. Okay,
good
to hear.
Not so much.
Also, repeat offender Kelly Klein, branch manager here with BluFi Lending, their website, BluFi.com. Going to talk a little bit about their 21-day funding guarantee for purchase money loans. Kelly, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, guys.
Well, I think it only makes sense to start briefly here with this governmental shutdown. I mean, that's clearly something
this
pretty
is the
new.
Biggest topic going on right now. I mean, can people get loans anymore?
Well, that's why we have Kelly here. And I initially didn't really understand that this might have some impact on FHA, VA loans, but those are definitely governmental loans. How's that working out?
Yeah, you know, it's a pretty interesting situation. The industry continues to find ways to have to be resilient and come up with strategies and solutions to keep moving around. And with the shutdown, you know, there was initially the thought was that FHA and VA loans were going to be pretty much on the back burner. Nothing was going to be able to move. We weren't going to be able to access the data that we needed to get from them. But the reality is these organizations have created websites that we use for a lot of the information that we need to gather to just keep the mortgage process moving along so that we don't have some stall outs during the process. However, the one thing that, you know, does come into play is that through the government shutdown, the IRS is also on lockout. So the IRS plays a part in the function of getting loans done because we have to validate people's tax returns. And that
the
validation
4308,
process, 4506.
4506,
yeah.
Right.
So we have to request the tax document back from the IRS to validate people's tax returns are actually not fraudulent. Well, this process is at a stalemate with the government being on lockdown. So the banking system is right now kind of circling up the troops and saying, well, hey, how are we going to get around this one? What do we need to do?
Well, you mentioned you validate tax returns. I would imagine if you're not in the lending business, you don't really understand that process. What do you mean you validate tax returns?
So,
I mean, I give you my tax returns. That's not good enough?
Unfortunately, when the stated income stuff kind of went away, the regulations came down and the banks basically turned around and imposed a rule that says – for every borrower who files tax returns, we need to get a transcript from the IRS that matches what you present to us as the lender. If the tax return that you presented to me shows X, Y, and Z, and then what I get back from the IRS shows A, B, and C, we've got an issue. They're not really jiving. We qualified you on an income level of X, Y, Z, but it really turned out to be A, B, C. So we have to get that information back from the IRS, make sure that the two jive.
So it's like a fraud prevention.
You got it.
Tactic. Got it. So with the fact that the government has shut down a lot of their offices, they haven't actually shut down the automated systems.
That's correct. The automated systems are still up and functioning, which is what's allowing us to, in a lot of areas of the transaction, keep the ball rolling forward.
So if somebody goes to get an FHA or a VA loan today, you can still submit the VA through the direct underwriting website?
That's
as long
correct.
As someone doesn't have to touch it. It'll kick out approved or not approved.
You got it. If you run into a situation where you need manual support, you need personnel support, that aspect of it isn't functioning. But the 8 to 5 Monday through Friday websites that we're accessible to get the data that we need to make loans, to get FHA case numbers, to run a DD 214 on a VA borrower, all of those things are still acceptable that we can get into.
So I think what you're saying is that you can still initiate the process, and so long as no one actually has to physically touch the file. It can still be submitted. You can still go ahead with an approval, make an offer on a property, start the process. But eventually, the government has to get it together and get this whole thing sorted out because someone's going to have to physically touch that file.
Most certainly. At the end of the transaction, we do have to submit a government file to FHA or to the VA administration, and they have to issue their certificate of warranty and eligibility for insuring those loans. Well, with the government lockdown, that's a manual job. That component can prevent us from having, you know, sellable loans after we've gone through the process, got your loan funded, and then in our business as a correspondent lender, we're going to turn around, we're going to sell that loan off to a Wells Fargo or to a Chase or to a Citibank, and they're going to collect every borrower's monthly payments. We're not in the boat of servicing mortgages. We originate, we fund, and we sell. But that selling process could be prohibited and hindered by the lack of ability to insure those loans if the government can't get their stuff dialed in sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Well, let's talk a little bit about who you are. I mean, you're Kelly Klein with BlueFi.
That's right.
And you manage the branch up in Carlsbad.
Yep. I've been a part of the BlueFi team for a little over 2 years. I have a partner in my branch, Stan Stark, and he and I manage a sales team of 22 loan officers, all very seasoned in the mortgage business. Every one of them has more than 10 years of experience in the industry, 14 for myself. And our goal is just to take an educational approach to giving borrowers the information they need to make excellent decisions when it comes to either refinancing or buying homes. And with BlueFi and our 21-day guarantee, we've come together with a program called our FAB program, FAB meaning Forward Advantage Buyer Program. And what that's going to allow us to do is pre-underwrite loans for a borrower who's thinking about going out and writing offers. So we'll actually physically present the file to our underwriting staff, have them review income, review credit, look over all their bank statements and paycheck stubs, issue a formal loan approval as a to-be-determined property. And at the point in time that they go out, make an offer, get an offer accepted on a house, all we need is an appraisal, a purchase contract, and title insurance, and we're ready to close that loan.
Why is that better than simply a pre-approval or pre-qualification letter? I mean, I see those all the time. Why would a buyer not just stop at a pre-approval or pre-qual?
We're just kind of taking it the extra distance, the next mile, so to speak. And a lot of banks out there have created success in doing pre-approvals, and we've done that. And that's part of how we came up with this new concept is, you know, a lot of times as experienced as we may be as loan officers, and sometimes your non-underwritten loans may take a different turn when it comes to actually reviewing the income at the end of the day by a designated underwriter. So rather than put a position for that file to maybe fall apart, maybe to have somebody look at it a little bit differently, you know, scrutinize it a little bit more thoroughly, we're going to have a very, very clean approved loan in advance just waiting to close escrow.
Perhaps you could explain the difference between pre-approved, pre-qualified, and I would guess you're describing this as your FAB program.
Yeah, so a lot of loan officers will pre-qualify a borrower, which is basically taking a phone application, asking you a handful of questions, and manually figuring out where the numbers make sense that you're eligible to qualify for. Okay. Some borrowers and some loan officers will take it to the next step, which is actually getting the tax returns from them, reviewing paycheck stubs, and then running them through the Fannie Mae process of automated approval. That's where we get the pre-approval, which is the loan officer running their system through Fannie Mae, Fannie Mae coming back and saying, we like your loan, everything looks good, assuming what you're telling me is all good. So the FAB program takes it one step further and says, okay, loan officer, you issued the pre-approval letter. Now, underwriter, take a look at the loan and issue a conditional loan approval. So now you have a loan that's approved. Here are the conditions that you need to meet in order to be fundable and to be able to close escrow on a transaction.
So over the last decade, there's been a lot of changes within the mortgage industry, right? I mean, we saw Countrywide basically fold over or get purchased. They were a mortgage broker.
Yep.
And we saw Washington Mutual, same sort of thing, where they ended up being acquired and essentially evaporated. So there is a race right now with the mortgage professionals. There's the bankers, like the savings and loans, who will also do mortgages, but some might say on a conservative side, whereas there's the mortgage brokers, which are frankly under a lot more red tape, if you will. Isn't that right?
Yeah, as a mortgage broker, you definitely have a little bit more obstacles in your path because you're the middleman to the money. you really have no control over anything other than the relationship that you've built with the consumer. Once you've built that relationship, your neck is on the line, your reputation is at stake. You grab the pieces of the puzzle, you shove them over to the next party, and you're pretty much out of the loop until they tell you otherwise.
Well, when you say middleman, I think, why don't we cut the middleman out? But when you look at the situation that you guys have created, why people do business with you is because you are able to go to the banks, get their wholesale rates because of the volume that you provide to them, and then you're providing that discounted rate to the consumer. So they're saving money by actually going through you.
There's a lot of cases where that comes to fruition and is legitimate. True. There are other institutions, and I'm not going to say names, but you know, BlueFi Lending is what we call a correspondent lender. So we're different from a broker. We're different from your bank. We do our lending. We have a big, huge Amex line, so to speak. We fund the loans on our Amex line, so we're not really the middleman. We start from A and we go to Z, and we package up our Amex bill and we ship it off to Wells Fargo and say, here you go, pay off our bill for us. We love you. Thank you for doing business with us. So we're kind of a middleman, but we're a different sort of middleman when you consider
because
the whole
you have
banking
money on
industry because we've got money on tap.
Right, right. So with the change, I mean, frankly, Ryan, you're seeing changes out there in the real estate market, right? I mean, not necessarily all positive, right?
Not always positive.
Right, because there was a huge rush on homes, and now is quite a slowdown. Some people are actually saying that it shifted from a seller's market maybe back to somewhat of a buyer's market. Some people are flat out calling it just a seasonal event that we experience every year. What kind of results are you seeing? Are you seeing a lot of loan applications now? Are you seeing loan applications down right now? What in your industry gives us some information to see what's possibly coming in the next 4 or 5 months?
That's a great question, Dave. In fact, the last 60 days has been a really interesting roller coaster in the mortgage industry and real estate as well. You know, having been doing this for 14 years, I'm pretty entrenched in the real estate market. And our applications fell off. They fell off the map between July and August. And September, we started to make a little bit of a rebound. Interest rates dropped back down. You know, your 30-year fixed rates today are pumping around 4.25%. You know, you're down on your 15-year fixed rates. You're down into the low threes, 3.375 for a 15-year loan if you're a conforming borrower. But we're seeing about a 7% increase in application starts in the month of September. This month of October, already with rates pushing down, we're starting to see yet a revival of purchase applications.
Well, it's good to hear it's picking up again. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Kelly Klein. He's the branch manager of BlueFi Lending. Their website, BLUFI.com. That's the website, BLUFI.com. Now, as we alluded to earlier in the show, I have basically the entire company here for Aurora Capital Alliance. They all took the day off to be on the radio and discuss premium financing. And it's complicated. Frankly, we don't have enough time to get through all of it, but we will. We will begin the process of describing what premium financing is when we come back after the break. Welcome back. ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. If you're just tuning in, we just spoke with Kelly Klein, branch manager of BlueFi Lending. Their website, BLUFI.com. That's the website, BLUFI.com. He was talking just a little bit about his FAB underwritten program, which I'm going to call, as far as you can get in the program, as far along as you can get with a loan without having a property address. And a really good thing to be able to compete with those other offers, A, that are cash and that are perhaps higher. A really good thing for everybody to go out there and do if you're looking to make an offer on a property. Okay, Aurora Capital Alliance. Mm-hmm. Alex Bellini, the executive director, and Andrew Marin, the financial director of, again, AuroraCapitalAlliance.com. Premium financing. What does that mean?
That is a great question. So premium financing, which is what we specialize in at Aurora Capital Alliance, is a creative way to fund your life insurance policy. And a sort of unique parallel here to Kelly and BlueFi's company is you can think of premium financing in Aurora Capital Alliance as sort of the mortgage broker for financing life insurance policies that a lot of individuals don't even know is an option. So
is really unique. And I remember last time we were on, we drew a lot of real estate analogies. I mean, this is a real estate show. It's probably going to happen again. But yeah, I that's kind of how I look at it. In this, instead of buying a home, which would be the thing that Kelly is securing for collateral, your clients are buying life insurance, and they're using some type of collateral to secure that, right?
Correct. And the first type of collateral that they're using is the life insurance policy itself. So unlike mortgages, right, in real estate, in the event of premature death, a bank is stuck with the house. Well, in Aurora Capital Alliance, in our structures, in our premium finance structures, in the event of premature death, well, the lender is repaid from the death benefit proceeds of the life insurance policy itself, and the rest goes to the client's estate or, you know, a charity of their choice. I mean, there are really a lot of different options.
Is this a new thing, the ability to finance my insurance policy?
It is a thing that has been around for over a decade. And just now, the types of products, the structures that the insurance carriers are coming out are fantastic. And it actually appeals to a wide range of individuals. And we have clients as young as 29 and as old as 75. Now, the reason for structuring it, et cetera, which is where we come in, right? Those reasons are different depending on the client's case, depending on where they are in their life. But there are programs available for a wide range of people.
So this has been around about 10 years?
Correct.
Okay, so prior to this coming out, I actually still have a policy. Mine's a term policy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they came in, did the physical,
yeah,
right? And, you know, I have a policy that, you know, we set up the direct deposit, and every month it comes out. And, you know, frankly, kind of worry about it every now and then, thinking to myself, you know, if I do happen to pass away, are they really going to pay this out? Are they going to figure out a way to get out of it? I don't know. But I did put this in place. And one of the things I was able to do in the process was identify that I wanted my mortgage paid off. You know, obviously, I'd like the family to not have the burden that we currently have with a mortgage after I move on. I make a monthly payment. How is this different?
And if, let me ask you this question, right? So once that term runs out, your policy is going to become expensive, right? It's going to become annually renewable, much more expensive than it is right now. Have you thought about your plans after that? Are you going to renew it? Are you?
Well, I'd like to say I would renew it, absolutely. However, I have to say that I'm probably like so many people that, you know, I'm busy, you know, selling houses, doing what I do, and I put this in place at a young age, thinking that, you know, by the time if I keep on paying it, I will, you know, if I pay it for my whole life and say I live a certain number of years, hopefully longer, and, you know, I keep paying the same premium. So, frankly, I haven't really looked at the policy.
And it's a good point. This is a really good sort of sample case of what we see on a daily basis, right, is your policy in your situation is the reason why life insurance companies make so much money. You know, on average, about 80% of life insurance policies don't pay out. That's why they're priced at such a deep discount.
Why wouldn't they pay out? What should I be concerned about?
Well, because when your term policy runs out, it's going to be so expensive, you're likely not going to renew it, right? So this is a good case where premium financing and Aurora Capital Alliance can come in. Okay, we can finance those premiums once your term runs out or even before then, and you can continue to pay a quarterly amount or an annually amount to the lender, okay? And then when you pass away, the lender is going to take the portion that they put into the policy, okay, plus any interest that has been accrued, anything that has been deferred, right? And your family, your estate, is going to be left with the remaining balance.
So I could get a loan currently for this continuance of life insurance. Do I have to qualify for this loan? Is this something I'm going to have to go through underwriting guidelines through? Do I have to have approved credit? What's the whole process that I would have to go through?
Another good question. Yeah, no, correct. You would have to qualify. There's a pre-qualifying process. It's a really simple process because you think the first incident of collateral is already there, is already existing. It's you. It's your life. It's your insurance policy. So the qualifying process consists of, we have a finance application. It's about 3-4 pages long. We'll need 2 years' tax returns and bank statements, and that's about it.
So let's say right now, you know, I think it was $500,000, and then we went for another $500,000. So I ended up being the $1 million man, which frankly is probably not enough. But with that said, what kind of how would this work? I mean, what kind of premiums would I be looking at? Would it be similar to what I'm currently paying now, or high?
Well, we'd want to convert that policy into something permanent, right? Something that's going to last for the rest of your life, and preferably something that has a strong potential for cash value accumulation, right?
And so I think one of the things you're talking about changing is the actual type of policy. And you're there to finance it, but your term policy means at the end of the term, the policy's done. If
correct.
You don't die during that term, the policy doesn't pay out. Mm-hmm. So you're going to change it from term to whole life, I would imagine, is what you're describing could do, right?
Well, preferably in an indexed universal life policy, okay, where it's a fixed product, okay, so we have a good upside potential for growth there. And when you think about it, you know, we're not using the client's money to finance these – to pay these premiums, right? We're financing these premiums, okay? So the lender's going to come in and look at this as an investment for them, and we get rates as low as 2.5% in some cases. So we'd convert that policy. We'd finance those premiums, okay? And the clients can either pay that 2.5% interest on some cases, or they can defer a portion or all of it. For the lender to be repaid at a later date from outside assets or from the policy itself when it pays out.
So let's say it's outside assets. So you put like a lien on a house, or how would that work?
Well, we think about this. If in your case, right, let's say when that policy, when we convert it, that annual premium turns into, say, $20,000 a year. Correct. Now let's finance those premiums so you don't have to pay that $20,000 a year. Okay. So you can retain the use of your own capital. Okay. You can put that money into the market, invest in real estate, etc. And you know, have your money working for you in that way, and let the lender come in position to finance those premiums. And in the time that you pass away, when you pass away, they'll take the principal they put in from the death benefit itself.
So we actually have you here on the air talking about this. But, you know, I'm curious, where does most of your business come from? Does it come from other financial planners? Where do you get – who says you should look at what Alex Bellini has to say and see if it's right for you?
About 80% of our business comes from working with other advisors, you know, financial planners, CPAs, insurance professionals. You know, where they have clients that could benefit from our programs. We just offer that bridge, that sort of capital bridge from here's insurance policy, here's a client need, to developing a creative way to fund those premiums and increase the benefit and leverage that benefit to get as much as possible as we can for the client.
So what you're providing here is an alternative to that, in your previous analogy, that $20,000 a year of insurance premiums that the consumer would have to pay out of pocket. You're offering an alternative to that, which would be the ability to finance those premiums at a rate as low as, in some cases, 2.5%, as you mentioned there, that would perhaps not even require the consumer to pay back on a yearly basis. The insurance policy makes more money than that 2.5% in, again, some cases, thus making it being the arbitrage, so to speak, right? And the consumer gets to be the arbitrage in the middle.
Correct.
Is that the idea?
That's exactly it. And inherent in these insurance policies, the money in there grows tax deferred and it grows compounded, right? And it grows on an annual point-to-point basis, correct? So we can never lose on the money that's in there, but we have a cap. We can never get more than, let's say, 15% of that money. So we have a pretty strong potential for upside growth, which translates into, for our younger clients, we like to say 55 and younger, the potential for substantial tax-free retirement from this insurance policy. When they haven't even paid the premiums for it, we financed it.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Alex Bellini. He's the executive director of Aurora Capital Alliance. That's the website, auroracapitalalliance.com. AuroraCapitalAlliance.com, discussing the ability to finance your insurance premiums at a very low rate and how that can translate into making the upside or the difference with respect to what your insurance plan pays out.
So let me get this straight. Let's say somebody is under 55, comes to you, gets the policy from you, does the loan program that you're suggesting, defers the payment. Mm-hmm. They're building a retirement at the same time, and they've deferred the payment. They make
correct.
No payment?
We do have zero out-of-pocket options. When we're looking at these structures, we always recommend, you know, like anything else, the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. So we do recommend for our clients to pay the interest on a quarterly or annual basis. However, we can defer a portion or we can defer all of those interest payments if it really makes sense for the client. And we have a client, let's say 45 years old, okay, healthy individual, needs the insurance coverage, but would also like the opportunity for tax-free retirement in his later years, let's say around 60 years of age. We'll set him up in one of these structures. He can pay a portion of that interest, 2.5%, instead of having to pay the whole annual premium. Okay, and 15 years down the road, we can take a tax-free withdrawal from the insurance chassis itself. We'll repay the lender plus any capitalized interest. And the client has an insurance policy that's going to last for the rest of his life and the potential to take tax-free withdrawals on an annual basis that's going to take care of him and his family for throughout his retirement.
Wow, that got complicated, but that's good. That's the business you're in. I mean, that's why people need to reach out to you. If this was simple, everybody would be doing it.
Correct.
And that's interesting. I think you kind of alluded to in 15 years or so, the insurance policy would be completely paid off, or the loan would be completely paid off. And we're going to go back to that scenario a little bit later in the show. When we come back, it seems like we talked briefly about the current interest rate climate. I think that's worth hitting again because it's come down just a little bit. I think that's worth revisiting.
I agree.
When we come back, we'll talk to Kelly Klein about the interest rates. So happy it's Thursday. Welcome back, ESPN 1700 AM. It's a Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. We were just speaking with Alex Bellini, Executive Director of Aurora Capital Alliance. That's our website, Aurora Capital Alliance. They offer financing for your insurance premiums, and we will get back to some zero out-of-pocket solutions they have in the fourth segment. But now, it's all about mortgage interest rates. Kelly Klein.
Kelly, what's your conforming interest rate right now?
So if you're going to borrow money on a loan, which we call conventional financing, for a 30-year fixed with 20% equity, you can get yourself down as low as 4.25% today.
4.25 is not bad.
4.25 is pretty awesome.
And that's down from where it was, say, 2 months ago.
Absolutely. We just about touched on 5% rates less than 60 days ago.
5%.
And
that had to hurt. That's right about when everything slowed down.
That's when things really stopped. A lot of the progress halted there in the beginning of October, late part of July. And we've seen a nice little run ever since the Feds decided that they were going to hold back on the tapering of their investing in the mortgage bonds and the treasuries. Mm-hmm. When Bernanke spoke a couple of weeks ago and gave us all a bit of a surprise, it was a great surprise for our industry. Everybody thought that they were going to start tapering anywhere from 10 to 15 billion a month of their buying, and they opted not to pull back at all. So it really shook up the market for a good in our industry by dropping rates back down. And every day they seem to be kind of just chipping away. And here we find ourselves down again at 4.25.
So Bernanke spoke. The market responded. Interest rates went up. The market responded again. And now Bernanke basically came out and said, wait, we changed our mind. We're actually going to continue buying things. And we seem to be somewhat improving in terms of the applications that you're seeing for purchase.
Yep.
And, you know, Frank, you know, Ryan and I, we saw a lot of agents, colleagues that I've talked to, have said that they saw a huge spike in price, a huge spike in transactions. And, you know, then it slowed down quite a bit. You know, there was still momentum. Obviously, it takes a while for things to close. You know, it's a challenging environment that we live in, especially when the government hasn't actually kept their doors open in a lot of ways. And that actually opens up another topic because of the fact that with FHA and VA, they actually have to get their hands on it to close the deal. If someone has a deal right now, are they able to close it?
Well, it depends on what stage of the process you were in as of today. If you're starting a loan brand new today, there could be some obstacles. We could run into some challenges, some roadblocks down the road, depending upon how long the stalemate lasts in government. But, you know, we don't want to hit the panic button yet. We don't want to say that loans are going to fall apart and that they're going to stop altogether. I think that would really kill a whole lot of the momentum that the entire industry has. And,
sure would.
And everybody that knows economics knows that real estate pretty much pushes the button of driving every other economic force out there. So,
well, every banker gets up in the morning and he decides how he's going to make a living. And he goes and sits in the office and they make decisions on how we're going to underwrite the money we're going to loan. And I think when we talked a little bit, you had said that now that the banks or the government is not actually as open as they used to be, they're in some ways deciding to overcome some of these challenges.
Yeah, I think the banking industry, it's interesting. I read a good article the other day that talked about, you know, back in the days that where rules used to be rules and laws used to be laws. Nowadays, everything seems to be bended and molded and flexed to according to what people think is acceptable. And our industry has continued to evolve and develop in that kind of fashion where today you have a rule and tomorrow you have a law and then 3 weeks later you have an amendment and then a month later you have a revision and then 3 months later you have another revision. So what happens today may not still be the reality 3 to 4 months down the road. So what we're all looking at right now is this panic of the government shutdown. We can't lend loans. We've got locked out on these websites and we can't obtain these things. But then the industry turns around and looks at one another and goes, well, if I do it, will you do it? And then if you'll do it, then you'll do it. And everybody eventually comes to conclusions that, well, forget about it. We still need to lend money because this is what we do for a living. So we got to find ways to fund loans. Let's just forget about that rule for now. We'll put it back into play when it's acceptable.
Right. Wow. There's too much money at stake. So they're coming up with ways to overcome some of the obstacles that they're seeing just to continue loaning money.
That's it. The way I see it.
In regards to loaning money, you know, there was a lot of cash out there. I mean, people were buying properties with cash because it gave them an advantage when they made an offer. And we saw people coming up with all kinds of cash. People were throwing the word cash around in our offers a lot of times. So there's these investors out there that are still – what would you say – what percentage of the marketplace would you say is all cash? Do you have any idea?
I would tend to think – based on what I've read and understand across the country, you're probably looking at 20 to 25% of all purchase transactions are cash buyers. They're, you know, they've got leverage. They've, you know, owned lots of real estate or they've been sitting on money. They foreclosed years ago and didn't have a mortgage for months and months. And they came back in or they're just deep-pocketed investors that have a lot of money. And with a down real estate market, it's the place to buy. So they were coming in and buying things up in cash and they were knocking a lot of the first-time buyers out of the way because there was profit to be made. Well, as the price of real estate shot up so quickly, a lot of that profit margin on those flips kind of started dwindling out. And you're now making way for a lot more of these first-time buyers to get back into the opportunities. But to your point, Dave, the question that you brought up is, with these investors out there buying properties in cash, there are still strategies in which those investors can get cash back out. And we offer a great program called delayed financing at BlueFi. And the delayed financing program allows for an investor who wanted to get that offer accepted because he was putting a super aggressive offer on the table just to get that property at a low price. So he throws an all cash offer, says, I can close in 10 days. They give him the deal. 2 days later, he calls me up, gets a refinance. I give him 80% of that cash back. He's got a 20% equity stake. Now he can go out and re-leverage that other 80% of the money that he just got back from us.
So 80% of what he paid for it? I mean, so that sounds like a stupid question. Of course, it's 80% of what he paid for it. But let me propose a different situation. Investor is able to buy something a little bit under value because he is all cash. That's what was happening, or the investors at least thought was what was happening 2 years ago. You buy something a little bit under value, and after that, come back, put some money into it, and then perhaps the value is higher. Let's say you buy something for $275, put $25 into it, you get $3 into it, but it's really worth $4 and change. You have does do you then are you do you have the ability of then having it reappraised and getting 80% of that four?
It's a good question. There's a difference between the delayed financing program and the equity created buyer with a refinance. So the delayed financing is basically giving you that 80% out of the transaction price, the price that you paid for the home, not the new appraised value. If you want to get cash out based on the appraised value of the property that you bought under market, you actually have to wait 12 months to use what that new appraised value of that property is so that the marketplace can really dictate the true value of that home.
So you're an investor. You make an all cash offer. It gets you the transaction. You're able to close this thing all cash, but you reach out to you, Kelly Klein at BlueFi Lending, and you say, hey, you know what? I'd like to pull some cash out because I see another investment. I'm turning these things pretty fast here. You know, you say, I can get you 80% of that cash back out. You got to have an 80, so you got to leave 20% of the original purchase price, not the foreseeable future price. If you want the foreseeable future price, you got to wait 12 months, but likely you're going to flip this thing quicker than that.
That's correct. So for an investor, yeah, they're going to want to get the money to run. If it's, you know, average Jane and Joe who are buying their first home and they're getting a good deal and mom and dad have money that they've thrown down for them to buy a place, different ballpark for them.
You know, Kelly, we've known each other a long time, and I used to give you the tough deals. And
I remember those.
Yeah. And I started getting, you know, unsolicited thank yous from my clients. And, you know, it didn't take long for me to start to see, why am I just giving you the tough deals? Why not give you the ones that are, you know, qualified, so to speak? And, you know, you moved up quite a bit within the mortgage industry, and now you're a branch manager over there at BlueFi. And you can be reached at 760-692-3939. That's the number, 760-692-3939. Or you can actually go to BlueFi.com and find out a lot of this information we're talking about. It's BlueFi.com.
When we come back, we're going to hit some concrete examples of what this whole premium financing thing is all about. I know it's a little bit complicated. We only have 15 minutes or so to break it down. We're going to do our best to break it down ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back. So happy it's Thursday. ESPN 1700 AM. It's Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. Dave is fumbling around with his headphones here, so if you don't hear from him, that's why. We just tuning in. We heard from Kelly Klein, branch manager over there at BlueFi Lending, with her 21-day funding guarantee, talking about today's rate, 30-year fixed, everything perfect, conventional, 20% equity, blah, 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 just over 4%. It's good news. It's good news. Interest rates are coming in our favor.
Let them keep going down, for Christ's sake.
That's what we're hoping.
All right, guys. Let's get an example here. Aurora Capital Alliance, premium financing, complicated. Mm-hmm. You're talking about chassis, variety of other insurance-related terms. How do I get this done? You got someone here about zero out of pocket. Give me some examples.
We will give you two examples, and we'll try to reduce it to the simplest elements as possible.
Please
and
do. For us novices, boil it down.
Confident we're going to be able to do it. But here's why insurance professionals, financial advisors come to us to help structure these cases for their clients. Okay, so the first one, imagine a 35-year-old male. Okay, we're going to put him in a $5 million life insurance policy. Okay, now the premium for that policy, say it's going to be $100,000 for 5 years. Okay, that's how.
At the end of 5 years, it's paid off.
At the end of 5 years, we don't put any more money into it. Correct.
Okay.
Now, so he has some options here. Okay, he can pay the insurance premiums himself. Okay, that's how to properly fund these vehicles. But why outlay that kind of capital when you can finance those premiums? So instead, we'll finance those premiums. Okay, at a 2.5% interest rate. Okay, so his other option is to either pay the $2,500 for that or to defer those interest payments. Okay, so let's say he defers those interest payments. So now he has a $5 million insurance policy. He's paying zero out of pocket. And 12 years down the road, we're going to repay the lender. We'll take the $500,000 the lender put into it plus any interest that has been deferred. They're going to be repaid. They're completely out of the deal, and now the client's left with this $5 million insurance policy that's going to grow for the rest of his life. And at 60, he can take $100,000, maybe even $200,000 a year, tax-free, out of the same insurance policy that he didn't put any money into.
So according to what the analogy you just made here, a 35-year-old man, And I realize there's some other appropriate criteria they have to hit, medical, you know, things like things of that nature.
Correct.
But assuming that works out, $5 million policy, the premiums are about $100,000 a year for 5 years. Finance that at 2.5%, which puts you at $2,500 per year. And that's what is the out-of-pocket. And you can even stick that back in there. So after 12 years, in your analogy, about 12 years, it's all paid off with nothing out of pocket. Is that really what you're saying? Did I get that right?
You got it right. And the reason why is because we're properly funding the insurance chassis from the beginning. And if you remember back in the beginning of the show, there's about an 80% failure rate of insurance policies across the board. That translates into about an 80% discount for these insurance policies. So we properly fund them from the beginning. We can set this chassis up. We'll manage it for the client. We'll manage it for their advisors. They don't need to worry about the annual reviews. We do all of that, and they can forget about it.
We're talking with Alex Bellini, Executive Director of Aurora Capital Alliance. That's the website, auroracapitalalliance.com. Again, auroracapitalalliance.com.
So, you know, you mentioned $5 million financed, $2,500 a year. Mm-hmm. As a premium,
correct.
Which could be – you could finance that, I'm hearing, or defer that.
The premium is $100,000 a year. The interest is $2,500.
Or you could pay the interest.
Correct.
Certainly can pay the interest. And, mm-hmm.
Which is – so you can make a payment similar to the one I'm making now, which is, you know, you're, in this case, $208.
Correct.
For a $5 million policy.
Correct.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. That's why – people enter into these sort of structures is for that reason. They can retain their own capital. They don't have to spend the $100,000 a year. Keep access to their own cash, their own investments, reinvest that money in ways that they're comfortable with, pursuant to their advisors and the client's own goals, and leverage their insurability to obtain a large life insurance policy for paying little to nothing out of pocket.
So how do you find out about this? I mean, to initiate a conversation.
Well, his website is auroracapitalalliance.com. One more time, auroracapitalalliance.com. Alex Bellini, Executive Director, or Andrew Marin, the Financial Director. And you said you had two examples.
Correct.
That was one for 35. Give me another one.
Okay. The second example is for a more mature client. Okay.
Mature.
More mature client. Let's look at this. So the individual is 65 years old. Okay, not so much. Well, he's entered into his retirement stages, correct? And we're looking at what sort of legacy we're going to be able to leave behind. Are there estate tax issues? Is estate preservation the goal? And in this case, we'll look at this the same amount as the first example, a
$5 million policy.
$5 million policy, which at that age might run around $300,000 a year if we fund it properly, and we'll pay that for 5 years. Okay, so that's option one. The client can pay that $300,000 a year for 5 years to properly fund the chassis, or will finance those premiums, again, at 2.5%. So the client for the first year could pay $7,500 in finance charge instead of the $300,000, okay, to properly fund the vehicle, or they can defer that interest. Okay, and here's what happens. You know, here's the power behind this plan at that age is – the client can come zero out of pocket, okay? We will defer all of the principal premium payments that have been financed in addition to the finance charges. And when the client passes away, we'll predict around age 85, 90, that insurance policy has grown from $5 million to $7 million. And the lender will take their $2 million, which is the principal plus interest in this example, from the death benefit of the policy itself, and the client's estate gets the remaining $5 million death benefit without the client ever having to put a dollar into the plan.
Sounds amazing.
So is the policy with your company? Is it, or is it you're just...
He's the loan officer.
You're the loan officer in the
process. They still have to go out and buy a house. House is the policy, right?
Correct.
And he's a loan officer. He allows the financing on it. So it's kind of like back to the good old days in 2005 where you do 100% financing. Mm-hmm. It's back, not necessarily on homes yet, but on insurance policies.
Correct. Not like the old stated income days. But
still run the credit, which is like a medical check.
Exactly. You know, and you know, when we're looking at these structures, you know, all everybody's interests are aligned in the right direction. And we need, you know, we do some underwriting on our end as well.
So you do some... Do you do physical tests on your clients for this?
Certainly. So it would be the same criteria as any standard life insurance policy as far as medical underwriting is concerned. In addition to that, there's some financial underwriting that we handle that we facilitate.
So someone has to qualify for it?
Correct.
So it's a debt-to-income ratio calculation or?
We look at debt-to-income ratio. We look at, in conjunction with the health of the client, what sort of rating they can get on their insurance policy, what their net worth is, what their goals are, how large of an insurance policy we're looking at. We take a lot of those factors into consideration. And, that's why that's the value that we bring.
Seems like an amazing plan. One more time, Alex Bellini, AuroraCapitalAlliance.com. That's the website, AuroraCapitalAlliance.com. Gentlemen, thank you very much for sharing that with us. Kelly, you mentioned briefly your FAB program, Blue Fi's FAB program. I can't say enough what a benefit it is to have a buyer that has gone beyond the pre-qual, beyond the pre-approval, to actually have a almost done loan, direct underwritten, just missing the address is a big benefit when going out there and looking to buy a home to compete against the cash offers and perhaps even the higher offers. Go out and get it, BlueFi, BlueFi.com. That's the website, BlueFi.com. Kelly Klein, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Until next week.